take your Bible, if you will, please, tonight. We're going to be looking over there in the book of Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter number 1. It's good to be saved, to know the Lord and the free pardon of sin. I hope you've had a good and prosperous week so far. And so in the book of Galatians in chapter number 1. And if you're able to stand, we'll look there and begin about with verse number 15. In verse 15, "But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb, and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood." All right, verse 23. "But they that heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth of the faith which once he destroyed." Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word and these that have gathered here tonight. We pray that now you'd move upon them within us. We thank you, Lord, that thou art God from everlasting to everlasting. Beside thee, there's none else. We'll thank you, Lord, for all you've done, all you're doing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to preach on from persecutor to preacher and a past life. Here's a man, the Apostle Paul, that I consider to be not only a great Christian, but maybe the greatest Christian, and that God used him to pin down, if Hebrews is included, better than two-thirds of the New Testament. And let me say to you that here's a man, you talk about an unholy terror everywhere he went. Here's a man that was breathing havoc against the church of the living God. Here's a man that didn't like the Lord Jesus Christ, didn't like Christians. He didn't like anything to do with any of that. And as a result of that, he done as much as he could to stir up and to persecute the church of the living God. But let me say to you that here's a man that had a change, a divine change, when he came to know Jesus and the free pardon of sin. That's the reason why God used him to pin down 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creature. And behold, all things are past. Behold, all things have become new." Did you notice there that whenever he said, "Therefore, if any man," listen, it doesn't make any difference where you're from, what your race, your creed, your color is. Every man in every place, that when they come to know the Lord, they have a change that takes place in their life that others can see and others can hear. In this lesson that you're looking at, let me say to you, is that here's a man that had a bad past, but he was glad he was forgiven. He was glad that he knew the Lord. Here's a man that had a changed life. Here's a man that whenever God saved him, he changed his life, changed what he thought, what he wanted, what he desired, what he craved after. I want to say in this Bible lesson, the only person that you'll find that never changes is the Lord God of glory himself. That's the reason over in Malachi said, "I'm the Lord, and I change not." Let me tell you something. God doesn't change, but you and I change. And I'm glad to know when we got saved that he changed us with a divine touch that others could be able to see and hear and be able to witness round about. Now, in the lesson that you're looking at, is that you'll find that a converted life is a committed life. In verse number 1 of this same chapter, Paul the Apostle, "Not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead." I got to say to you that, if you will, that what he pointed out and said was that I'm not an apostle. I'm not apostle of men or either by men. This isn't something that I decided to try out and find out if it worked or not. This is something that in verse 15, that when it pleased God to separate me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. That's how you can tell it. In this lesson that you're looking at, let me say to you, what God did was God gave him a new heart. And whenever God gives you a new heart, he'll give you a new mind. He gave him a new message. Instead of preaching against Christ in the church, he began to preach of Christ to the church. And let me tell you something, is that he's got a new manner of life all around about him. Remember over there in the book of St. John, chapter number 9, there was that one that had been born, was blind from his youth. And whenever the Lord made him whole and healed him and all of that, somebody came along and said, "Isn't this the guy that was laying out there with all these years blind?" Some said, "No, I think it's like him." Some said, I think it could have been him." And he said, "No, I'm him. I'm him." You see, a changed life. God will give you something that you might be able to know that God's done something divinely in your heart and in your life. Now, in this lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you, is that you'll find out is that he once was a religious man, verse number 13 of our text. And by that, you'll find out, he said, you've heard of my conversation in time past. In the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted them. I got to tell you right now, is he had really moved up and had a position among his Jewish religion. And yet you'll find out that somehow or another that this religious man was lost, undone without God. He had no life in Christ. He was living a life without Christ. And by the way, he termed out and that as though he had a wasted life. If your life's without Christ, it's a wasted life, wasted time. The prodigal son learned that when he'd had his living divided to him, went into the far country and wasted it in riotous living. In the Bible lesson, you'll find is that he realized that though that he can move up the religious ladder and excel above many of his equals, and yet somehow or another it brought no peace that passeth all understanding down in his heart. In this lesson, you find the Bible said, he said, I'm more exceedingly zealous. He said, not just a deadhead, you know, but zealous for a bunch of traditions. But he was involved and working in a man-made religion that had no regard for God, the Bible, and good, right, moral, and decent. Number two tonight, this man was a rebellious man. And I'll tell you, whatever Christ was for, Paul was against. And whatever Christ was against, Paul was for. We live in a world that way. He could have been a Baptist, a good liberal Baptist. That's the way liberal Baptists are. In this lesson that you're looking at, you'll find out is that here was a man that chose traditions over truth. Back over in the book of Acts in chapter number 26, and you can turn there if you'd like, over in the book of Acts in chapter number 26, when you begin to look into it, verse number 11. Acts chapter 26, verse number 11. He says, as he stands before King Agrippa, and he is going to allow him to speak for himself, and he said, I think myself happy to be able to speak for myself. And in verse number 9, I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison. Talk about an old boy that was rough as a cob. Having received authority from the chief priest, and when they were put into death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them oft in every synagogue, compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even into strange cities. And whereupon, as I went into Damascus with the authority and the commission and from the chief priest, at midday, O God, I saw in the way of light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speak unto me, saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness in both of these things in which I have seen, and also of those things in which I will appear to thee. I want to say that here's a man that had a real powerful experience. Here's a man that once was a rebellious man, that now has God speaking to him, has God calling him, has God equipping him. Here's a man that certainly going to have a changed life and a divine sense. Now, you know, in the day and hour that we're living in, you don't find a whole lot of that anymore. It's hard to find a person somewhere with the touch of God up and down the road of life, standing in a pulpit, even the pulpiteers. You can just about find out where they went to school, if they went to school. And, of course, you know, some of them are bragging about their ignorance. And I've literally been in places where preachers were saying, I don't have no education. I don't need no education. I don't want no education. And I'm thinking the whole time they're saying that. And it shows. And it shows. See? In the lesson we're looking at, Paul the Apostle made his mind up that whenever he conversed with the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm now going to run with him. And God, by the grace of God, called him into the ministry. And as a result of that, he's saved him. And his name's sealed down in glory. And now he's about to be busy about the Father's business. In the lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out that this man that once was rebellious is now a righteous man. Now, you know, it's a very simple thing that you and I are laying out here. And if you're a child of God, you're a righteous man. If you're a woman, you're a righteous woman. You've been changed by the touch of God. And let me say to you, it's a change that'll be for all eternity. Back over there in our text, the Bible said in about verse number 15, Galatians chapter number 1 that we've read, but when it pleased God, I like that, God does what pleases him. When it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb. I got to tell you, the reason why I don't try to press people and put them on the spot is because God knows you even while you're in your mama's womb. He knows all about you. He knew when you were conceived. He knew when you finally get born. He knows when you finally get born again. And let me tell you right now is there's no way in the world you and I can ever hurry up the work of God. You know, you may go somewhere and be looking for a new garment, looking for some kind of a garment. And you'll stand up and you'll primp in front of the mirror and you'll look and find out how it looks, and then pull it back off. Try another one, see if you like it. And that's the way we do with earthly things. But let me tell you, when it came time for God to put the robe of righteousness on you, there wasn't no way. Let me try it a while. If I don't like it, I'll go back to living like a God-cussing heathen. Wasn't none of that. Yet we live in a world religiously that thinks they can do just exactly that. I know people right now that claim to know the Lord, and if you didn't know them and know they had claimed that, you'd never know they had nothing. I'm glad to say that it's good to be saved and to know the Lord in the free pardon of sin. You know what's wrong with the average Baptist? They can't make up their mind what they want to do for the cause of Christ, if anything. And let me tell you right now, is they better never go to a mission field where they've got to stay any length of time. That's the reason why about every 30 days they're changing, doing something else. It's because of the fact is that they're not faithful to the post of duty that God's assigned them to. And, you know, in this lesson that we're looking at, and I'll tell you what I'd have liked to have been if there hadn't been so many laws made, a professional fisherman. But, you know, after you fish a few days and don't catch nothing, you decide quick you want to change your profession. As a result of that, I like to take these boys. I went bass fishing this week, first time to Pinkston this year. That's unlike me, but I've just had a lot of things, and you've had a lot of things, and we've had a lot of things. But I remember, I never take the bass boat out. I never take it out. Because with these boys, especially if we're going to catfish or something like that, because there's too much worm droppings that they kicked over and leaving all that nice-looking carpet, even though it was seven, and so it's been several years old since it was bought. But I took it out, and so I went, yes, the first time that I've been in it, and man, I got to noticing all those worms where the box had been kicked over and so forth and on. And I can't remember, I guess it was Addison and Logan that time. None of them's ever going to admit to it, and it's okay that they don't, because I pretty much already know that I may have kicked it over myself. I just said all that to say this. Those are things that are earthly that happen in this life. And make no mistake about it, we are recording some experiences that we've had in our life, in our lifetime, and we're making memories. But let me tell you right now, when it comes down to divine things, it'll be the touch of God. It'll be the call of God. It'll be the change that God has wrought in our heart and in our life. And I can tell you what he does is that when God does something, it'll be forever. And not only that, it'll be instant. It'll be immediately. It'll not be something that you can just try on like you did the garment, or that you can try this or try that. Listen, when God calls you, buddy, he'll put a touch on your life that's a divine touch. And others round about you can see it and tell it, and they can know it. In closing tonight, I want to say to you that it was a change that was immediate. over there in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter number 9, whenever Paul on the road to Damascus got converted. Over there in the book of Acts chapter number 9, about verse number, 18, I think that it is. And as we look there in that chapter, chapter 9, verse 18, here's what he said. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened, and then saw certain days without with the disciples that were in Damascus, so forth and all. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogue. I'll tell you, he didn't waste a whole lot of time getting to him. I'll tell you what it was, if you look in verse number 23, and after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. They hated the Christ, and now they hate him because of Christ. And let me say to you that it was notable that a miracle had taken place and that he had been washed by the blood and born into the family of God. Look in verse number 20. Straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. No yes, no ands, no buts, no maybes. But he just began to rear back and let it rim. Notice some saw it, some heard about it, and some who never saw him heard about the fact that he that once persecuted the church and fought against the message of Christ was now a preacher of the gospel message of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now I can tell you what happened and how long it lasted. Over there in the book of 2 Timothy, in chapter number 4, there's a passage there that we'll look at in closing. In 2 Timothy in chapter number 4, here's what he's saying as you look there in this little lesson that we're talking about here tonight. In chapter 4, verse number 7, here's what he said. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them that also that love his appearing. I want to tell you right now is when God saved his soul, you'll find out he put him in the race. He put him on the battlefront. And the Bible said that he said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. In the lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out is that while he was once a persecutor, now he's a preacher of the gospel message of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I can't tell you how many people that I see on a regular basis, weekly basis. And many of them used to go to church here. And they were in, out, finally they got completely out. And I've seen some this week. People that I love dearly, people that I care about, people that you would care about. But yeah, somehow or another, in days gone by, whenever I've seen them, hey, how you doing? Well, listen, I've missed you at church. Why didn't you come to church? Now, they didn't have a good, legitimate reason why. Because they were just going nowhere. And a lot of times they'd come back in for a day or two, a week maybe, and then fizzle out again. I want to tell you something. When God does something lasting and for real in your heart, it don't matter how many people come and go. It don't matter how many people rise and fall. There'll be a consistency in your life to live for God and serve the Lord. Now, I realize that no, you may get the word that you're old enough and can't get around good. I'm not talking about being sick. I'm not talking about that whatsoever. See what I'm talking about? I could name you some people tonight, and they're not here. They're not connected with you here, so don't go thinking I'm trying to slam somebody that you know, though you know them. But they can't come to church, but you'll see them out and about running people and shuffling them here, there, and yon. See, and let me tell you right now is I may get to where I'm like that one of these days myself. I know the last time that I missed, I enjoyed it. You know why? Flesh, buddy. That's the flesh right there. You've heard me get up and say before, I'm going to rename. If I ever had another church, I'm not going to have, but if I ever had another church, I'd want to name it, I Can't Be There Baptist Church. I can't tell you in all these many years is how many times people have called me, like in a moment's notice, I can't be there, preacher, because. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Is that most of the time you can always tell when people are not feeling so good and they're trying to do what's right. It's just a kindness and a courtesy. without somebody having to hunt you up and wonder where you're at. Where's so-and-so? I don't know. What are they doing? I don't care. Huh? You wouldn't do your job that way. See what I'm talking about? And let me say to you that if you will, that I can name you people in all these years of ministry that were very faithful to tell you, hey, I'm not absent without leave. I can't be there because I hope you'll be praying for me and so forth and on. Until whatever they're doing, they're not sure it's right themselves. And then they'll dodge you like they had. They'll act like these kids. All these boys and girls that come in here, man, they're just happy to see me, want the candy that's in there in the office, love me to death, love the candy more. And let me tell you, they're always kind and courteous till their mom and daddy go to having roast preacher. And then they'll stand back and look at you. Where'd you come from? Well, I was there when you were born. I've been here, I was there with you, your folks during the time that she carried you and when she had conceived you came from day one. Now you're looking at me like all of a sudden that we've never met before. Oh, I see. That's what belly aching does instead of Bible rejoicing. You see what I'm talking about? I don't know about you, but I'm glad that I'm saved. And I'm glad that God's done something lasting for all eternity in my heart and in my life. If you've not had that happen to you yet, I'm praying it shall. I'm praying it shall. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our Father, we thank you for loving us even while we were unlovable. We thank you, Lord, for these that we've gotten that are out of town. May you watch over them as they travel. May you speak to our heart. And may you help us go with our lip and our life. Spread the message to others round about.